Welcome to Daily Sabbath. Our opening hymn for this morning is from the Red Hymnal. We will sing together hymn number 248. I invite you to stand. We will sing hymn number 248. Let us pray. Direct us, Lord God, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and extend to us your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our scripture this morning comes from the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt about his waist, and faithfulness the belt about his loins. Then the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. May your scriptures ever be our delight, O Lord. May we not be deceived in them, and may we never deceive others with them. Amen. Over the coming weeks, as Christians celebrate the seasons of Advent and Christmas, the biblical book of Isaiah will begin to show up all over the place. Passages from Isaiah will be read almost every week during December in many churches, and the verses that you just heard from Isaiah 11, in fact, are the assigned text for this coming Sunday in the Revised Common Lectionary. Allusions to Isaiah appear in popular Advent and Christmas hymns, and nearly a third of the text from the libretto of Handel's Messiah come from Isaiah. The prophetic book has even left its mark on Christmas decorations. The appearance of an ox and a donkey in nativity scenes isn't based on the New Testament, which doesn't mention any animals in its descriptions of Jesus' birth, but it's based rather on early Christian interpretation of Isaiah 1:3, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. Our text this morning, Isaiah 11:1 through 9, offers a description of a powerful deliverer who inaugurates a period of unprecedented world peace. Over the centuries, many Christian readers have, not surprisingly, identified this figure as Jesus. According to this interpretation, the reference to Jesse in verse 1 indicates Jesus' royal lineage as a descendant of King David of Judah. Jesse was the name of the father of David. Verse 4 describes the second coming of Christ and the final judgment. Verses 6 through 9 depict the new recreated earth in which all living creatures coexist harmoniously, reversing the discord introduced by the first human sin in Genesis 3. It is doubtful, though, that the first readers and hearers of this prophecy would have understood it in that way. Rather than imagining that it was a prediction of something that would happen many centuries later, they would likely have taken it as the announcement of the reign of a new human king of Judah at a time when the Davidic dynasty still occupied the throne. Psalm 72, which is clearly a prayer for a human ruler, uses language very similar to Isaiah 11. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. This prayer articulates a traditional ancient Near Eastern understanding of kingship, according to which one of a king's most important duties was providing support and relief to oppressed and vulnerable citizens. During the time of the prophet Isaiah, however, the kingdom of Judah had become a vassal of the Assyrian Empire and had lost much of its political independence. The kings of Judah were more concerned with maintaining their tenuous hold on power than with creating a just society. Isaiah railed against the accumulation of wealth by a handful of landowners, denounced the systematic denial of legal rights to poor persons, and criticized costly military defense projects. Sound familiar? And so the deep yearning for just leadership, expressed in Isaiah 11, 1 through 9, reflects the prophet's profound disappointment with the political regime of his day. Although a series of ineffective kings may have reduced the Davidic dynasty from a once proud tree to a mere stump, Isaiah proclaims that new growth may yet emerge from the deep rootstock. A new ruler will come, one who will be motivated not by fear or self-interest, but by wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and piety. This ruler will not be swayed by misleading appearances, but will make decisions informed by a robust sense of justice and human rights. Indeed, these ideals will be integral to his policies, like the very belt that holds one's garments around one's waist. The ruler's prudent and just decrees will serve as weapons to expose the schemes of oppressors. Under his watch, the powerful will cease to exploit the powerless, as captured by the arresting metaphor of the peaceable kingdom in which ferocious predators renounce their carnivorous instincts and live serenely with defenseless herbivores. It's easy to let ourselves be captivated by the rich, imaginative language of the text. But this language gives voice to the real life this world concerns of a people who had suffered long under unjust rule. It hardly needs to be said this morning that few among us have any realistic expectation for just governance from our elected leaders at this moment in time. Quite the opposite, in fact. Many policies currently under consideration threaten disproportionate harm to the most vulnerable members of our society and actively promote discrimination and oppression. Given this state of affairs, it is tempting to give in to cynicism or despair, to give up on the possibility of just and compassionate governance altogether, to withdraw from the political process completely. Against such a temptation, however, Isaiah's stirring words inspire us to nurture our hope for leaders who promote justice, who advocate for the downtrodden, and who pursue peace. In the words of another prophecy from Isaiah, "See, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Then a fool will no longer be called noble, nor a villain said to be honorable." Isaiah 32, 1 through 5. Now more than ever, We should look to such ancient visions to remind us of what is possible, lest we become resigned to oppression and accept exploitative rule as normal. Like many biblical prophecies, Isaiah 11 would have functioned as much as a critique of the present as a prediction of the future. Nothing lays bare the moral bankruptcy of an oppressive regime like a compelling alternative vision of authentic, just leadership. And yet, because of its very persuasiveness, a text like Isaiah 11 inevitably leads to disappointment, especially given its hyperbolic, metaphorical language. No imperfect human can live up to this lofty standard, not even a great king like Hezekiah or Josiah, the two Judean rulers who might have been viewed as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. In fact, within a few centuries after the time of Isaiah, Judah had completely lost its political independence and suffered under the more exploitative despotism of the Babylonian and Persian empires. It's little wonder, then, that later readers of Isaiah 11 began to understand it not as a passage about a human ruler, but as a vision of a coming Messiah, a heavenly ruler who would come to earth and bring an end to tyranny and oppression once and for all. That's the interpretive lens through which early Christians read this text and applied it to Jesus, whom they believed to be this Messiah, who proclaimed that the kingdom of God had come near. For Christians, Advent is a period of expectant waiting. During this season, as the nights grow longer and longer, we remember again what it means to wait for the dawn. It is a fitting time, then, to live into the tension between these two meanings of Isaiah 11, the enduring desire for principled and equitable human leadership, and the recognition that inequality and oppression will only be fully eliminated when God's kingdom comes. Within that tension, let us act boldly, assured that our work for justice has meaning and makes a real difference in the world, and yet aware that it doesn't all depend upon us, that a power greater than our own is at work in the world, creating a new world among us. New growth will sprout from the seemingly dead stump. The wolf and the lion and the lamb and the cow will grow fat together. Justice and peace will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, full of compassion, we commit and commend ourselves to you, in whom we live and move and have our being. Be the goal of our pilgrimage and our rest by the way. Give us refuge from the turmoil of worldly distractions beneath the shadow of your wings. Let our hearts, so often a sea of restless waves, find peace in you, O God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.